Today's recording is in Luke chapter 23, and we're going to start in verse 17 after we look just quickly to remind us from yesterday's recording where we left off. So in yesterday's recording, Pilate has interviewed Jesus. He has sent him to Herod. Herod has tried to get, you know, a little bit of entertainment out of it, get him to show a sign. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't answer. He sends him back to Pilate, and Pilate basically says, look, I can just, you know, I can punish him and then release him. And verse 17 is in the New King James Version. The ESV leaves verse 17 out, but it's a parenthetical thought to explain things. Verse 16 is, I will therefore chastise him and release him. Verse 17 is, for it was necessary for him to release one to them at the feast. It states necessary. My understanding is that that was a tradition that they did so. All right, so beginning in verse 18, it says, they all cried out together, away with this man and release to us Barabbas, a man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, crucify him, crucify him. A third time he said to them, why, what evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him. But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate added that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. The people stood by watching, but the ruler scoffed at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And there was also an inscription over him, this is the king of the Jews. So what we're arriving at today is the chief priests and the rulers, they've pushed through this issue with Jesus. And realize this all happens within the span of a day. You talk about very quickly pushing this through. They are here to make sure that Pilate does what they want. And they've stirred up a crowd even to try to accomplish this. Now, there's something that Luke presents that helps us to understand that even though there's this big crowd that cries for Barabbas to be released and Jesus to be crucified, there are some who don't go along with that. Yeah, it states that there are these women that are lamenting this situation. And so, actually, in verse 27, it says, a great multitude of the people and of women, and they were mourning and lamenting. So even though there may have been a very vocal crowd, it's not all of them. So consider that when you think about this. Now, Luke gives us a little bit different details than other gospel writers, and it's one of the reasons why I like looking at side-by-side accounts from the gospels, because you get a better picture. And it's not that they're recording, you know, anything contradictory, but that they looked at it and presented the points that were important or stood out in regard to their purpose for the gospels. So Pilate is trying to get out of crucifying Jesus. He doesn't want to do this. He doesn't see any reason for this. And on the other side of this, there's this man, Barabbas, that Luke tells us was an insurrectionist. That means that he was trying to stir up rebellion against the government. And that's someone that the Romans very much would want to kill. That's the type of person you do put on the cross as a reminder to everybody who's in control and don't dare go against us. You know, crucifying was a terrible punishment that was reserved for those that they really wanted to send a message with. So Barabbas was that kind of person. He was an insurrectionist and a murderer, and yet here they are, they ask for him, let's crucify Jesus. And apparently this is so vocal and so big a crowd that Pilate's really worried about going against what they're telling him to do. They keep shouting, crucify him, crucify him. And he even asks, what evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt. So as I mentioned yesterday, Pilate realizes that this is really an internal religious matter and not something that the Roman government ought to be involved with. But verse 23 says they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified. So what does he do? He's got an insurrectionist that was not successful, but now he's got a riot starting that could turn into an insurrection. So what does he do? He's kind of caught in that. So verse 25, he releases Barabbas and he consents to do what they want to do with Jesus. Again, verse 27, as I just mentioned. And then he goes on to be crucified. And Luke moves through this fairly quickly, whereas other accounts give a few more details. You might want to go read from Matthew, Mark, and John in order to fill in a few of those details. But notice the nature of Jesus, verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, any worldly person, they're going to want to get out of it. They're going to want to get revenge. My followers will avenge me. You know, something along those lines. That's a worldly person, the way that they would respond. But here's Jesus, who is dying for the very people that are asking for him to be crucified. And so his thought is, forgive them. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to bring forgiveness. That's what being the Lamb of God means, is to bring forgiveness. And you know, the people that are watching and the rulers, they're scoffing at him, saying he saved others. Let him save himself. If he's the Christ of God, his chosen one, you know, if he's really the Son of God, let's see him get himself out of it. But they didn't understand that that was not the purpose of God. Could Jesus have done that? Sure. Did he have the power? Absolutely. But that was not the plan. The plan was for Jesus to be the Lamb of God, and the Lamb has to be slain in order to bring about that forgiveness of sins. Again, that compassion of Jesus is contrary to what any worldly person expects or thinks. And I think that's something that we have to work at adopting for ourselves, that compassionate heart that we need to have toward other people. Does the word condemn sin? Absolutely. And do we preach the word? Absolutely. But at the same time, we have to have compassion in order to reach people with that word. And I think that's what takes more effort, is to be like Christ in that particular manner. All of us want compassion from Jesus and from the Father. We want forgiveness. We want grace. But it takes more work to turn around and extend that to somebody else. Now, the other part of this, he says, they know not what they do. And Jesus recognizes that the plan of God was foreign to them. They don't understand it. They are blinded by what's going on. And even his disciples, they don't understand it at this point. It's not till Jesus opens their understanding later, and then after they receive the Holy Spirit, that everything really comes into focus for them. So he realizes that they don't understand what they're doing and that all of this serves to fit what the eternal plan of redemption was. And that's tough to do. Remember Jesus praying in the garden when it was such a stressful time for him that his sweat was like drops of blood? Jesus knew what was coming, but he knew it was the plan, and he knew that that was necessary for the redemption, and so he did it willingly. He went to the cross willingly, and so here we see that as well. It's not easy under this stressful and very difficult time to be compassionate, but Jesus is showing perfect compassion in that regard. All right, we will pick up from there in our next reading, starting in verse 39 tomorrow. So I hope that you will come back for that recording and for us to share some thoughts. I hope that all of this has been beneficial to you, and ask that you continue in prayer that God may be with us all.